This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another episode of The Life of Aisha, Mother of the Believers, radiyallahu anha. In this episode, we're going to look at the aftermath of the slander incident. We highlighted two of the themes emerging in the life of Aisha radiyallahu anha in the last episode. The first is attaching one's heart, one's hopes, one's sense of reliance only upon Allah. We saw that during the slander incident, when the revelation didn't come down for a month, Aisha radiyallahu anha couldn't rely on anyone. She couldn't rely on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a husband or as a messenger to clear her name. She couldn't rely on her parents to clear her name. So she came to the realization that fasabrun jameel, right? And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truly the only one who could help her against the lies that were being spread about her. As soon as she stopped having any hope of help from creation, any kind of sense of dependence on the creation, and began depending only on the Creator, revelation came down and it exonerated her. So, you know, we can also learn from this. There's going to be times in our own lives when it feels as though we have no one. You know, the people who we usually depend upon, whether it's our parents, our siblings, our friends even, or our spouses, you know, they might not be able to help us with certain things in our lives, with certain problems and challenges that we face. And from this, I think we can learn that when we stop attaching our hearts and stop attaching the outcome to other people, to creation, and start totally depending on the Creator and call on Him alone, then Allah's help comes. The second theme that's emerging in the life of Aisha radiallahu anha is overcoming one's emotions to do the right thing. In other words, don't let emotions rule you. We saw that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, during the slander or at the end, he wanted to stop financially supporting Mistah, one of the companions who was involved in spreading the rumors, who was also a relative of his, whom Abu Bakr actually financially supported because he was poor. But when the verses came down saying to Abu Bakr, let them pardon and forgive, do you not love that Allah should forgive you? Abu Bakr immediately said, yes, by Allah, I would like that Allah forgive me. And so he realized that it was for Allah that he was supporting his relatives. You know, he wasn't doing it merely just for them. And so he would continue to do so. He said, by Allah, I will never deprive him of it at all. So in other words, he overcame that initial feeling of anger, that initial feeling of or desire for retribution, and decided to do the thing that would please Allah. We saw that Zainab bint Jahsh, one of the other wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had immense rivalry with Aisha radiallahu anha. You know, we said that in the past that the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were kind of divided into two groups. One you could call Team Aisha, and one you could call Team Zainab. And so there was this constant rivalry between Aisha and Zainab. And as a co-wife, Zainab bint Jahsh could have used this incident, the incident of the slander, to, you know, make herself look better compared to her co-wife, right? That's kind of the human inclination or emotion that could have come up in that time. But Zainab bint Jahsh, radiallahu anha, the mother of the believers, was a woman of taqwa. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Zainab, what do you know and what did you see? He was just asking her, like, did you see anything strange going on? you know, in my house or with Aisha radiallahu anha, Zainab radiallahu anha replied, "O Allah's Messenger, I refrain from claiming falsely that I have heard or seen anything. By Allah, I know nothing except good about Aisha." Subhanallah. And we'll see later on that Aisha radiallahu anha herself learns the lesson of not only of not allowing one's emotions to affect one's actions. She learns this lesson quite painfully later on in the incident of the camel, which will come in a future episode. Now, after the slander incident, it emerged that various Muslims had responded in various ways. Some Muslims, like Zainab bin Jahsh, for example, had responded with integrity. Allah revealed verse 11 onwards from Surah Nur about it, saying, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ. He said, it was a group of you from amongst you that concocted the lie. Do not consider it a bad thing for you. It was a good thing. So Allah is saying, this incident that happened, even though it felt bad, don't consider it a bad thing for you. It was a good thing. And every one of them will be charged with the sin he has earned. He who took the greatest part in it will have a painful punishment. So this was in reference to Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the head of the hypocrites, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't command the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to punish Abdullah bin Ubay in this life, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was saving his punishment for the next life. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا وَقَالُوا هَذَا إِفْكٌ مُبِينٌ. He said, when you heard the lie, why did the believing men and women not think well of their own and declare, this is obviously an enormous lie? We see that Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, for example, the Sahabi, he was praised by Allah because, as Allah says, and why did the accusers not bring four witnesses to it? If they cannot produce such witnesses, they are the liars in Allah's eyes. If it were not for God's bounty, for Allah's bounty and mercy towards you in this world and the next, you would already have been afflicted by terrible suffering for indulging in such talk. Then Allah says, when you took it up with your tongues and spoke with your mouths things you did not know to be true, you thought it was trivial, but to Allah it was very serious. Okay, so here Allah is talking about the some of the companions who did get involved with the rumors, right? And did spread the rumors. And then he talks about Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. And he says, وَلَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ قُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا بُهْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ. When you heard the lie, why did you not say, we should not repeat this? Allah forbid, it is a monstrous slander. These were actually the words of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari to his wife. Abu Ayyub's wife had asked him if he'd heard about the rumors. And he is the one who had said this. You know, subhanAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is setting us examples in these ayat of people, first of all, the hypocrites, the ones who, you know, started the slander and had the lion's share of blame when it came to starting and then spreading the slander. Then the Muslims who indulged in spreading the rumors, okay? And then the Muslims like Abu Ayyub al-Ansari who responded in the correct way. Allah is showcasing these three different responses. Now, three of those, unfortunately, who spread the rumors were Hamna bint Jahsh, Hassan bin Thabit, and Mistah bin Uthatha. And there may have been others, but we know these names in particular. And they were punished for spreading the rumor. Of course, after they were punished with lashes, the punishment for accusing a person of zina without proof, which is 80 lashes, This served as an expiation for their crime. Allah says in Surah Nur, ayah number 4, "And those who accuse chaste women and do not produce 4 witnesses, flog them with 80 stripes." One of the qualities of Aisha radiallahu anha that we see is that she has husn al-dhan of people. You know, husn al-dhan means having a positive opinion, having a positive thoughts, positive interpretations and expectations. She never liked to hear anyone being backbitten, even if they did something against her in the past. We see that Aisha radiallahu anha, as her nephew says, Urwa bin Az-Zubair, he says that Aisha radiallahu anha always used to defend Hassan bin Thabit, the Sahabi who had been involved in spreading the rumor. And she never liked anyone to criticize him, even though she knew that, you know, about his involvement. And why was this? She used to defend Hassan because he had composed verses of poetry. You know, he was the Prophet's official poet. He was his like media and mouthpiece in a way. And one of the lines of poetry that Hassan bin Thabit had composed that really spoke to Aisha was, فَإِنَّ أَبِي وَوَالِدَهُ وَعِرْضِي لِعِرْضِ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْكُمْ وِقَاءُ. I lay down my father and his father and my own honor for the protection of Muhammad's honor from you, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These lines of poetry were so dear to Aisha. She felt that, you know, they were enough to make Hassan's status firm in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's eyes, and she never liked anyone to criticize him because of the way he had defended the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this was a mistake, and inshallah, these companions were forgiven after they had been punished. The hypocrites were left unpunished, as I mentioned, and their punishment awaits them in the hereafter. Inshallah, after the break, we will talk about what happened to Safwan bin Mu'attal, and we'll carry on with the story. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. So, the other victim of the crime, of the slander, was Safwan bin Mu'attal, right? The Sahabi who had found Aisha radiallahu anha in the desert and had done the right thing and accompanied her, allowing her to sit on his camel and leading the way, not speaking a word to her and leading her back to the rest of the caravan. Aisha radiallahu anha says about him that he said, "Subhanallah, by him in whose hand is my soul, I have never even lifted the veil of any female." Subhanallah. So Safwan bin Mu'attal, he never actually got married. And later on, he was martyred in one of the battles. So he was a pious man, and alhamdulillah, his name was cleared. He did at one point become upset and hit Hassan bin Thabit over the head when he realized Hassan was one of the people who had been involved in spreading the rumor. And of course, this is like, this wasn't carried out with due process. And so Hassan bin Thabit complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam compensated him. So this again highlights that, you know, even though emotions were high, even though a person can feel angry because somebody is slandering them, they can't take the law into their own hands, right? There still should be due process that is followed. And we see that in the fact that Hassan bin Thabit went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is a judge, right, to complain that the due process hadn't been followed. Now, the scholars of Islam are unequivocal when it comes to our mother Aisha radiallahu anha's innocence. Imam An-Nawawi, may Allah have mercy on him, said, "Aisha's innocence of that of which she was accused is stated definitively in the Quran. If anyone doubts that, may Allah protect us from such a thing, he becomes a disbeliever and an apostate by the consensus of the Muslims." And why is it considered an act of disbelief That's because, as Imam al-Qurtubi says, it is a rejection of the verses of the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an, يَعِذُكُمُ اللَّهَ أَن تَعُودُوا لِمِثْلِهِ أَبَدًا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah forbids you from it, from the sanda, and warns you not to repeat the like of it forever if you are believers. Also, Imam al-Qurtubi highlights that it is an offense to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to accuse his wife, right, and his honor in this way. And it is an insult to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he would have chosen a wife or have a wife and continue to stay with a wife who would have been less than, you know, pious. And ultimately, it is also a crime against our mother Aisha radiallahu anha and her honor. Now we're going to recap on the life of Aisha radiallahu anha by using a timeline and just recapping where we are. So we said that our mother Aisha radiallahu anha was born 7 years before the hijrah. That means at the time of the hijrah, she was seven. 2 years after the hijrah, which is the immigration from Makkah to Medina, the Battle of Badr took place, and she moved in with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the age of 9. 3 years after the hijrah, the Battle of Uhud took place. In the fourth or the fifth year, the verses of hijab were revealed, right? And we said that that meant, especially for the mothers of the believers, an extra level of covering. It meant that they had to stay behind even a physical curtain or barrier. In the fifth year of hijrah, the incident of the slander took place when she was just a teenager, about 13 or 14 years old. And in the sixth year of the hijrah, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah took place. And then in the eighth, the conquest of Makkah. And during the conquest of Makkah, our mother Aisha would have been about 15 or 16 years old. Also in that year, the eighth year, the Battle of Mu'ta in Sham, in modern day Jordan, took place. And that is where the Muslims faced the Byzantines for the first time, right, the Romans. And three prominent Sahaba, or three prominent companions who were the leaders of that battle, were martyred during that battle. And Aisha radiallahu anha witnessed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's immense grief at the death of, first of all, the man he regarded as his son, right, Zayd bin Haritha, who was martyred in that battle. Also, Abdullah bin Rawaha, who was martyred, and Ali bin Abi Talib's brother, Ja'far bin Abi Talib. Anas bin Malik reports the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced the death of Zayd, Ja'far, and Abdullah bin Rawaha to the Muslim community before the messenger delivering the news arrived in Medina. So the Prophet was told about their deaths before the messenger from the army had come to even inform them in Medina. He had said Zayd took up the banner first, but he was soon hit. And then Ja'far took it over, and he was hit. And it was taken by Ibn Rawaha, and he was hit. And the Prophet's eyes were pouring with tears, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He then said, "Then the banner was taken up by one of the swords of Allah." Of course, he meant Khalid bin Walid. And they continued to fight until Allah bestowed His grace. Aisha radiallahu anha narrates, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got the news of the death of Ibn Haritha, of Zayd, Ja'far and Ibn Rawaha, he sat down and looked sad. And I was looking at him through the chink of the door. A man came and told him about the crying of the women of Ja'far. The Prophet ordered him to forbid them. The man went and came back, saying that he had told them, but they did not listen to him. The Prophet said, "Forbid them." So again he went and came back for the third time and said, "Oh Allah's Messenger, by Allah, they did not listen to us at all." Now, just to explain this incident, What was happening is Ja'far bin Abi Talib, his wife, Asma bint Umais, she was, and the household were crying. And of course, crying, there's nothing wrong with crying when somebody passes away. But unfortunately, the level of crying was becoming like basically wailing, and you know, it was becoming extreme. And so this Sahabi had come to complain to the Prophet ﷺ. And unfortunately, the Sahabi wasn't very sensitive to the fact that the Prophet ﷺ himself was grief-stricken, right? This wasn't really the time to be coming to complain to him or talk to him in this way. But look at how Aisha radiallahu anha is very sensitive to the emotions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She sensed and she could feel the immense grief that he was feeling. And so at this point, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the man kept coming back, telling the Prophet that they weren't listening, he said to him, "Oh, go and put dust in their mouths." So in other words, he got annoyed and he was just saying, look, you know, go and deal with them. And Aisha radiallahu anha says, I said to that man, basically she berated him and she said, you could neither persuade the women to fulfill the order of Allah's Messenger, nor did you relieve Allah's Messenger from fatigue. Meaning she told him off for annoying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at this time when he was grieving. And again, this shows you her closeness to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, other people sometimes they didn't realize what he was going through or what he was experiencing. They weren't that sensitive to his emotions. But she, being his wife and his closest wife, she was always very attuned to how he was feeling. And she would even defend him and tell people off on his behalf. The reason why this incident is also significant is that Ja'far bin Abi Talib, okay, him being martyred, meant that his wife, Asma bint Umais, was now a widow. And later on, it was actually Aisha radiallahu anha's father, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, who married Asma bint Umais, the widow of Ja'far. And in the future, you'll see that then they had a son called Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, who is basically Aisha radiallahu anha's half-brother, right? In the 9th year of Hijrah, back to our timeline, her half-brother, Abdullah, was martyred in the siege of Ta'if. So this is Abdullah, who is the full brother of Asma bint Abi Bakr, from, you know, Qutaylah bint Abdul Izzah, who was the first wife of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Abdullah is the one who had helped during the Hijrah, right? Who'd taken the provision to the mountain where Abu Bakr and the Prophet ﷺ were hiding. So he was martyred in the siege of Ta'if in the 9th year of Hijrah. In the 10th year of Hijrah, it was the year of the farewell pilgrimage. Aisha radiallahu anha's brother Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, the son who was the son of Abu Bakr and Asma bint Umais, he was born. So he never actually met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was just a baby when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his final years. When Abu Bakr came to Medina, he was paired with Kharija bin Zayd al-Ansari, who was from Medina. He was one of the Ansar, right? As his brother in faith. And later Abu Bakr married the daughter of Kharija, Habiba bint al-Kharija, and had a home in a suburb of Medina. Inshallah, next time we're going to continue our story and we're going to see how Aisha radiallahu anha played an important role in the final illness and then the sad passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until then, jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.